May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Anyone, maybe in the past or maybe currently, read a self-help book every once in a while? Anybody ever do that? Yeah, sure, yeah. Yeah, perhaps you heard of Mel Robbins. She's an author and motivational speaker. She gained some notoriety doing TED Talks. She wrote The 5-Second Rule. The subtitle is Transform Your Life, Work, and Confidence with Everyday Courage. And it sold millions of copies, being translated into many languages. It was named the number one audiobook in the world and the fifth most read book in the year that it came out, in 2017. And then last year, she ended the year, came out in December. She wrote another attention-grabbing book, a self-help book in December, called The Let Them Theory. And like many motivational books, this one had a shocking aha moment that was explained in its New York Times review. Catherine Pearson wrote in the New York Times, on the night of Robbins and Sons Oakley's junior prom, quote, she was overcome by the realization that her youngest son would soon be leaving her, and so Robbins coped by micromanaging the scene. She pressured Oakley into giving his date a corsage, fretted about the weather, worried that the teenagers hadn't made yet a dinner reservation. And then fed up, her daughter Kendall, who was an older daughter, snapped, Mom, if Oakley and his friends want to go to a taco bar for pre-prom, let them. And there was an eye-opening for her, an epiphany of Einsteinian proportions, a Copernican revelation that altered her view of her own personal universe. And she writes then, quote, if they get hungry, let them. Soaked, let them. Let them, let them, let them. The let them theory encourages helicopter parents and anyone who's afraid of losing control and wigging out at molehills and anthills to allow others to be themselves without attempting to change or control their behavior. By adopting that mindset, then you begin to reduce stress and focus on one's own reactions and decisions, leading to greater peace of mind and emotional well-being. And that idea resonates with us because we waste so much energy worrying about what people are doing, especially to us, how to affect change in loved ones, how to get others to see choices, life, politics, or religion through the same experiential lenses that has benefited us so richly. Now, both Mel Robbins and Jesus offer different approaches. Robbins says, let them be themselves. Jesus says, let them deny themselves. And at first blush, you might be tempted to think that these ideas are opposites, but in truth, they're very similar. Jesus, if you think about it, simply takes Robbins steps further. When Robbins asks us to let them make their own way and choices, she is asking us to surrender and release control, throw up our hands and any inclinations to meddle in the lives of others. Now, think about this. That cannot happen. That is, that idea of letting them cannot happen without a death or self-denial. Truly think about it. Your young adult child wants to drop out of college to become an inventor. How do you tell her that a car with glowing tires, or chopsticks that cool your noodles, or square wheels on bicycles will never make it to the market? You say, give it a shot. But then you let go, and in that letting go, there's a crucifixion involved. There's a cross. There's a death. It kills you to do it or say it, but you do. You step back and take a deep breath. You say to your child, a spouse, okay, take your shot. I remember when our son was in high school, his senior year, and he went to solo an ensemble with both a piano piece and a clarinet piece. And of course, I heard his piano playing. It was gorgeous, and he got a number one rating. He also played clarinet, and he went and did his solo, and he played his clarinet, and I had heard him practicing, sort of. His bedroom was in the basement, so far away, and I could hear him, but I went to see him perform, and my goodness, it was gorgeous. If a clarinet can be gorgeous, it was gorgeous. It was beautiful. It was wonderful. And I said, well, now you can go to state competition. And he said, no, this is what I wanted to do. I wanted to get a one in both clarinet and piano. I'm okay. But you know, you can do this and go to state and blah, blah, blah. He said, no, I'm good, Dad. I'm cool. Oh, there was a death that day. I had to let go of my pride in my son. And he said, he accomplished what he wanted to accomplish. Good for him, right? Rejoice and celebrate. Be a part of it. You know, when you're able to die like that, you're not far from the kingdom of God. This is close to the radically different approach to the life that Jesus requires of those who would be my disciples. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciples, Jesus tells us. His words challenge us to embrace a way of life that requires sacrifice and discipline and surrender. Jesus doesn't tell us to stop controlling others. He tells us to give up control over ourselves and submit fully to Him. Pastors and authors Timothy Merrill and Carl Wilton offer the observation about Robbins' theories, the Let Them theory, that it has undeniable practical benefits. It helps people release the unnecessary burdens of trying to control how others behave or to seek their approval or forcing relationships to be what you want them to be. There's wisdom in understanding that we can seldom change, reform, modify, alter, or mold people after our own image. So why should we get so emotionally invested in all that egregious mistake, in all the egregious mistakes that others make? It doesn't make sense. But the problem with the let them theory is that it stops at personal peace. It calls for detachment, but not transformation. Let me say that again. It calls for detachment, but not transformation. It asks us to let go of others' behavior, but we might forget that Jesus calls us to let go of ourselves. Let them seeks freedom from stress, but Jesus calls us to a freedom from self. And that is going to require a cross. The essence of Christianity is not about self-fulfillment, but about self-denial. Jesus makes it clear, if anyone wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. To carry one's cross in biblical times was not a metaphor for minor inconvenience. It was a symbol of death. Death to self, to personal ambitions, to the illusion of control over one's life. Here's the thing about self-help books, and I've read a lot of them. In the end, they deny the fundamental truth. Often I shouldn't say always, but they often deny the fundamental truth about what it takes to empower change in our lives. It takes a death of sort. Quick side note, and if you're wondering, I read the self-help books because I know that the people read them, and I want to know what people are into, or what are they reading? I want to understand where they're coming from when I engage with them. And there are often some great nuggets, the cool people call them life hacks, that I've read about in self-help books, right? But self-help books can be helpful. And the irony, though, of self-help books in that any disciple aiming, or excuse me, any discipline aiming to improve our future life, our future self, always involves the death of our current self in a way. Get it? Does that make sense? Any discipline aiming at improving our future self always involves the death of our current self in some significant way. This is a paradox. You can improve yourself as a person, no problem, but you're going to need to let go of some things. Growth and even life itself requires letting go of the very self we're trying to enhance. Jesus put it this way: for those who want to save their lives will love it, and those who will lose their life for my sake will save it. It's about the future. The Apostle Paul shares this experience by writing, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." And whether it's breaking bad habits, or adopting healthier routines in our lives, or cultivating deeper relationships, and improvement often demands the death of old ways, of old mindsets, of old identities. True transformation requires dying to self rather than simply elevating it. There's a difference between let them and let them deny themselves. Anyone wearing a cross this morning? A cross? A couple? I'm wearing mine today. It's my communion cross that I wear with my robes. It's a cross that has a representation of bread and a cup that's on the communion table. I wear it every communion Sunday. It's a cross. You know, a cross is not an adornment. A cross was never meant to be a mere adornment, but rather a call to transformation. A cross represents one of the most torturous means of killing a human being, yet we wear it as a fashion accessory. And I'm not blaming you. Keep listening. In a sense, Jesus reminds us that the cross is not something we wear, but it's something that we carry. So I say, oh, I see you're wearing a cross. Maybe I should say, oh, you're carrying a cross today, I see. This is why we might say that the cross is a challenge, not a comfort zone. The cross should make us uncomfortable. And while the cross ultimately represents a hope and wholeness, and in other words, salvation, it also represents death. The death of self, of sin, of selfish ambition. If we were to get real about this, we would understand that the cross is not a fashion statement. It is a declaration of self-dying. I remember when I was ordained, my mother wanted to buy me a cross. And so she went to the jewelry store, and she was looking at them, and she really liked these ones with Jesus on the cross, a crucifix and other in the conversation with the jeweler, the woman looked at my mother and said, "Where's your son going to be a priest?" My mom said, "Well, he's going to be a pastor. We're United Methodist." "Oh, you can't buy a crucifix. You can't buy a crucifix." "Oh, no, 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 no." And so she brought a very tasteful gold cross for me, and I've had it ever since, nearly 45 years now. I always thought it'd be kind of cool if I could get a cross that was a crucifix on one side, and then you could flip it over and it'd be just an empty cross on the other side. Because some days I need to be reminded of the pain of the cross, of the sacrifice that is required. And some days I want to say, "Jesus is risen, hallelujah, hallelujah." Any entrepreneurs out there want to make that cross for me, let me know. A let them life means moving from trying to control outcomes beyond controlling a let me attitude that is a surrender our wills to God. So the journey goes from let them to let me to let God. And so what does a let God life look like? Let's briefly look at it. A let God life rejects a me-centered life. It's a life in which you stop living your truth and you start putting yourself, and you stop putting yourself first. And when you put others in front of you, when you're trying to help others, you find your true self. You find a life of service and meaning and purpose. You find yourself in the greatest. You find yourself in the greatest endeavor of your life, living fully for Christ in this world. A let God life surrenders control to God. Self-denial means trusting God's will over your own plans, your own ambitions, your own comforts. Trust the Lord with all your heart, it says in Proverbs, and do not rely on your own insight. In all ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. One of the things that I've already talked about my mother, and she was very proud of me, as I've already indicated, but she didn't like it when I shared my testimony once, which always began with, I didn't want to be a pastor. It was the last thing in my mind. didn't seem to me to be the cool things to do, but God called me. Praise God. And I've been immeasurably blessed in my life and in my ministry. Surrender to God means giving control to God over your life. A let God life loves others sacrificially. This contrasts with a self-focused world that tells us to prioritize our own happiness. Jesus calls us to love even when it's inconvenient, costly, or difficult. It means forgiving someone who's meaner than a nest of wasps. It means, I always said that when we were younger and we had the four kids and we were heading out to Colorado, my in-laws lived in Colorado, and it's a long trip out there. It's a longer trip with four kids. Two of my sons, I love you all, I love you. But that's the point, right? You love your family, you love them, and you love your in-laws, and you go out and you spend time, you make that sacrificial love of others. A let God life resists cultural pressures. Conventional thinking often dismisses absolute truths and promotes moral relativism, but self-denial means standing firm in biblical truth, even when it's unpopular. Do not be conformed to this world, the Apostle Paul read or wrote, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And finally, a let God life includes daily dying to self. Self-denial isn't just one big moment of sacrifice or a decision. A lot of self-help books are about losing weight, amen? You know, a lot of them out there, right? A lot of them out there. Oh, you got what was the guy's name? Dr. Phil, he has a self-weight loss book. I mean, everybody has a self-weight loss book. Maybe I'll write one. But it's a daily commitment. You can't just say, well, today I'm going to commit to losing weight and then tomorrow I'm going to commit to having a hot fudge sundae. That's not the way it works, right? It's a daily dying to self to make lasting change so that your future self is different than your current self. Wearing a cross is easy. Carrying a cross is difficult. Dietrich Bonhoeffer told us that discipleship doesn't come cheap, and it also involves hardship. The let them theory has a place. It can help us stop worrying about others' choices, but it doesn't go far enough. Jesus calls us to something much deeper, not letting go of others, but letting go of ourselves. And the real question isn't, will we let them, but will we let God? Will we let God rule over our lives? Will we let God lead us even when it costs us? Will we let God be our everything? And that, my friends, is the word of God for the people of God at Central United Methodist Church. Amen.